Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I'm Pastor John. The ministry of Headed Home is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find and answer the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
Years is nothing in comparison to it. If you are so fortunate to have another 50 years, hey, how about the people in here that only have 10, 5? Hey, no. The Bible says life is but a vapor. So I pray you're ready. More than anything else, I pray you're ready to go. Pray you're living life like you're leaving tonight, but I pray another 100 years. That is super. Turn your Bibles tonight. Speaking of reflective thoughts and things, Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter. We're going to look at verses 1 through 4 tonight, and it's interesting because the title of these verses right here is the Twilight of Life. Twilight of Life. I've recently, you all know, I've had people that we've known that have passed away, people that I've dealt with it. Where I'm on Monday and Tuesday, and there are a lot of people are there one day, another one. It's just continual flow, and I can actually even visualize it. It's like, you know, it's in line, and one after another, you're walking off into it, one after another after another. I think that for that reason that God has just heavily laid on my heart, the brevity, the short. I think it's imperative that we continually be challenged in the reminder of that, but also the reminder in what we should be doing in the meantime, and just recognizing that young people here, you have a grand ability, because I never had anybody talk like I did in my life. I would hear here and there, maybe a couple of times a year. You know, life is short, but there wasn't an emphasis on it. And I think an emphasis on the brevity of life is a continual imperative, meaning something that's extremely important. The reason being is, if we are not continually reminded, what do? We forget, don't we? We have short minds and mindset. I will tell you, I've met people that are 90 years old that act like they're going to live forever. I told y'all about a year ago about that somewhere that this on a TV screen, and this female was probably 80 to 85 years old. Never heard more. And I remember just in my mind saying, "You have no," and evidently not. The belief that even at that age, you got a long. So we have an ability to do something different. We have an ability to live our life, whether you're young or old in this building. You have the ability tonight, in a sense, turn back the hands of time, so to speak, and begin to live like you should live, even if you're in the final quarter. Let's just say this, if you're in the final minutes, or you can brush off what I say tonight and you can keep living like you're living. There's nothing I can do to change you and put you in a place to be obedient. But tonight, if you're desiring to do that, you're at the right place, because God's word gives us such insight, such wisdom. We're going to see it tonight in verses 1 through 4 of chapter 12. And if you're able physically, stand tonight out of reverence for the reading of God's word. So remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of adversity come and the years approach, will say, I have no delight in them. Before the sun and the light are darkened, and the moon and the stars and the clouds return after. On the day when the guardians of the house tremble, and the strong men, the women who grind grain cease because they are few, and the watch window dimly. Doors at the street are shut while the sound of the mill fades, rises at the sound of a bird. The daughters, Father, Lord, teach us to number our days. Father, I pray tonight that God, you are God, give us understand. Commit all this to you tonight, Lord. Jesus' name. He didn't. Interesting thing that I'm starting to recognize in life. You know, your passions start to change. Things that used to be fun, and I'm not even talking about bad things, even hobbies. Start thinking about, you know, I've always wanted to do that, and I was young. I think, I can't wait until I'm older, and you know, you have the ability and time and money or whatever, and it's going to be, and you ever thought about those hobbies that you be so passionate about, and you even think about it now, it makes you tired thinking about doing them? Anybody here yet? Yeah, I'm speaking to a few of you. The rest of you will get there. Just log this one to memory, because I promise you, you'll pull it out of the old Dewey Decimal System here in a few years and go, now I understand what he's talking about. But it gets to that point in life where the things that you did when you were young don't have much excitement. As a matter of fact, you know what starts to get real exciting? Either thinking about recliner surfing or sitting on the front porch in a rocking chair with a glass of lemonade as you watch cars drive by. Anybody there yet? I've been there a long time. I love watch cars go by. I actually love people watching. They charge you for parking now, so I don't do that anymore. When I was young, there's nothing more exciting than to watch people at Opryland. I don't know why. Some of the wildest. You think Walmart's exciting? Opryland Hotel, man, that's the one. There's seven wonders of the world inside of there. Come walking every night. But it's just amazing, though, that how you know your affection like to do change, and it's interesting. Listen to what it says in verse 1. To remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of adversity come and the years approach, when you say, I have no delight in them. For the sun and the light are dark, and the moon and the stars and the clouds return after the rain. You stop there. I want to share this first thing tonight from verse 1. It's this. These days of our youth be spent serving the Lord. You young people, a grand opportunity. You have an opportunity to start young, run full our life. What did I just say? You have the opportunity. My question asked to you is, you going to take it? Are you going to buy the fleeting foolishness of the world that invites you to take part in it and squander years that you can never get? You have a unique opportunity tonight because you're even hearing this and hearing the fact that one day it will come a time in your life when things aren't much exciting anymore. Right now, you're being afforded the opportunity to know Christ in the that are willing to walk with you in a genuine walk with Christ, not religious foolishness. I'm talking about people who are willing to walk with you, walk you into maturity, shepherd you into maturity, encourage you, challenge you, hold you in accountability to maturity. You have a grand opportunity, but what I can't do once again. You have to have a love for Jesus, and if you don't have a love for Jesus, I can try all day long. Or your parents or people that love you can try to legalistically push you to do what you should do. And guess what we do growing up with our kids? Push them to the cross. You push them to Christ. Scripture talks about impressing truth on their heart. What does that mean? That means that you're impressing something that something doesn't want to do or be. But what we know about Scripture is doesn't return void, but accomplishes what it was sent to accomplish. And we know what Scripture also says, training up a child in the way they should go. When they're old, they won't depart from them. So I've heard parents say, well, I'm not going to push Christian religion on them, or it might push them away. Crazy? I'm going to defy what the Word says in the hopes that they come around. Come around to what? You didn't give them anything to come around to because you were scared that you might run them away with your religion, and you bought the sad, vomited up psychological information from somebody who had no business sharing it in the first place. And you're buying a philosophy and a theology that's completely unbiblical, in all honesty, in my opinion, it's anti-Christ. Because if we are living a philosophy and we are trying a pattern with which the Scripture speaks explicitly against, what would you say? Are you Christ following? No, you're anti. You're anti what the Scripture says. That's why it's so important when you have a prodigal that's rebellion and complete, and you know this. I'm not talking about you assume so. There's a potential. I'm talking about somebody who's an absolute rebellion. You better follow what the prodigal son story. Because you'll dig the grave. You will stick your little baby that you say you love so much in that ground. And God forbid, after it says, spare the rod, spoil the second verse, says you contribute to their not only their physical death, but that's their death, church. Physical death be one thing, right? I'd hate it if somebody died early because you or I weren't willing to have a spiritual backbone, but imagine we contributed to their death. Why? Because we wouldn't trust God to do what God says he would. As God was trying to not only grow them and bring them to himself, but also grow us in what? Am I going to trust God to do what God promises to not? Am I going to take the route of the prodigal son's father and stand at the end of the lane in total hope, having had to say, no, I can't do this, you can't, I will not be a part of this? Or we're going to keep trying our little formula? Because sadly, I know mamas, y'all love your babies. Don't love your baby to hell. Don't love your babies to hell. Oh, God wouldn't do that. Don't you dare say that. Scripture is explicit on it. You better love your children in truth. Truth, righteousness, godliness, justice, and that is a life that compels them to live a life holy, holy, set apart life as a follower of Jesus Christ. But it cannot happen when we do not conform to a pattern of God is not going to defy it. His word is. So when God speaks into something plainly, we either have to follow it or we are the one that is in enmity or in contradiction with God. And do you think that's going to end up good? I assure you, it will not end up good. So see, the days of our youth should be spent serving the Lord. Kids, you have a grand opportunity once again to do that. Parents, no matter where you're at, you could be at the end of the game and realize this now. You still have the ability to finish strong. That's the blessing. And tonight is basically just a rallying cry, because the title of the message tonight is, remember him now. All of us are in various stages of life, so if you're not remembering him now in everything that you say and do, start tonight to do it. You are still breathing. You're still sucking air in your lungs. You have an opportunity to do what you should, as God has called you to be doing, even if you've not been doing it. And then looking at verse 2 again, let me just go again. So the Creator in the days of youth, remember, before those days of adversity come and the years approach when you I have no delight in them, and before the sun and the light are darkened, the moon and the stars and the clouds return after the rain. On the day, let me go in 3, on the day when the guardians of the strong men, women who grind grain cease because they are few, and the ones who watch through the window see dimly. Anybody know what I'm talking about when the stooping in there? When I went to that funeral the other day, I saw a lot of friends I've known. Friends I've known 5+. It's ironic. Recognize they've changed. Some of them who were strong, standing up, or starting to stoop over. They're talking. I'm talking about right. And to start. What this is talking about. It's very scary because this is path and the biblical reminder that our bodies were not. After sin corrupted them, they were originally. But after sin corrupted. The stain of sin is you wake up and you're like, oh man, I'm so you know what God's allowing your body to tell you? Not you're made for home. You are not in a glorified state. You are in an unglorified state in the reality that we're affected by this. This old body is going to lay down one day. And you know what's going to happen? Is the next body going to deal with this? We're going to be at home. We're going to be in his presence. God is going to restore and make what? All things new. There'll be no more tears. Anybody going to have a cancer diagnosis again? Never again. There's not going to be another bad back. There's not going to be another person born with a Down syndrome. There's not going to be anybody else born with the stain of what sin was on the beauty of God's perfection. And his reminder is reminding us this is not your home. What are you going to do today? Are you going to remember now before the time when you stoop? Before all of these things that Scripture talks about that happen, those things. See, people who really loved and wanted, really worked hard to save up money, and they saved up a lot of money, but guess what? I've so many of them I've met. That money doesn't, they don't even want the things that they worked for those years. Some of them don't even get the physical ability to do those things they wanted to do. But often, they don't care about that sports car or that motorcycle or going to do this or do that. Can't do those things. And all of that work and all of that sacrifice, sadly, so many people look back and go, look what it is. Many times it costs families. Cost relationships. One of the things I've seen so much, is that they always wanted to do, because remember, we'll do that down the road. Because we can always do it down the road, right? Do it later. Anybody ever catch themselves? You know what I've realized now? I say to the family, I'm going to do some things. Lifetime, because I realize if I don't do them now, I'm not going. I get it's kind of an interesting place when you get even where I'm at psychologically, where you realize that there's this paradigm shifting that's going to be occurring, whether I want to or not. You know, anybody in here doesn't want to face that, right? You have to. It's unavoidable. People I'm taking care of right now that many years ago were dear friends of mine that had businesses, were extremely strong and in very good health and very difficult. Ladies, yesterday, my peers now, as I have to take care of these people that have been dear friends of mine. And here is this person that was such a picture of strength and success. Now they've been reduced. Being taken care of, they can't even stay with their family. That is going to happen. This is not home. Remember him now. You have the ability. This is what, March 20th of 2024. You have the ability tonight to make a complete and utter 180-degree turn in your life tonight. You might be a follower of Jesus Christ, but you've not been living for him. You've not been serving him. You haven't been sacrificing, as Scripture calls it, a living sacrifice. Sacrifice costs you something. It's going to hurt, whether it costs you financially, whether it costs you in time. It's going to cost you. Maybe tonight you realize you've just been sitting there at the spiritual buffet line saying, hey, hold the persecution, hold the suffering, hold the sacrifice, but oh, God, give me a double helping of the faith, hope, love, joy, and peace. About life. Window, and you. people say before, no, I don't like, I'm not a church going person. I just don't like Christ. You don't want to go to heaven then, because there's going to be a big one. You might want to go to the other place because you'll have all the isolation you need. But it's truth. I'm going to tell you what it really is. Same people go sit in the middle of a Titans game with 100,000 people. Watch Austin. Because that's the reality is we can give you this persona that we want to play out and all these excuses why we can't do what we have been not just told, we have been commanded to do. Oh, Lord, you know, I don't like getting with the guys. It makes me nervous, you know. Men's breakfasts and things and fellowships and stuff kind of makes me nervous. Well, you better get nervous. You better get nervous because if you don't want to be a part of the fellowship of believers, you better step back and do an introspective weighing of your heart, spiritually speaking. Because if you don't delight in the assembly of the brethren, there is a major issue in the heart, not the head, the heart. You might blame it on the head, but it deals directly with the matters of the heart, which are the matters of eternity. You can sit around and excuse it away until you get some medication that allow you to get around people. What can you do? You want medicine? Get on your face before God and start praying that God would give you a heart for Him. Because if you have a heart for Him, you're going to have a heart to fellowship with His people. They're hypocrites down there. Good, there's room for one more. Oh, you found you a good church? Don't go, you'll ruin it. Amen? Oh, I found the perfect church. Don't go, you'll ruin it. We're all hypocrites, saved by the grace and the loving peace of God that surpasses all understanding. That's what we are. Not one of us in here is perfect. Praise the Lord, there was one that was. He died on the cross, but arose from. But I'm so thankful tonight that as we conform into His likeness, we're daily desiring to transform into His image. And as we fall flat on our face, we're not ever going to be sinless, but we will sin less. And our desire is to wake up every day and say, God, make me holy. God, I want to be perfect. I don't want to violate You in any way. And when you do fall flat on your face, it's not because, well, I'm not perfect, just forgiven. No, you fell. And fell is something that you completely caught. You get up when you recognize it, you repent, and you continue to go. What does the scripture say? 7 times a righteous fall. Amen? You're able to get back up. Praise God. Amen? That's what the scripture says. So let's just listen to what the scripture says, not listen to some sorry excuse you saw on some message board from some positive speaker that told you it ain't no big deal. You don't have to be a Christian to go to church. But you have to go to be obedient. Has obedience excuse itself out? You don't like it? Hebrews 10:25, explain it away. I'm talking about the truth tonight. I'm talking about remember Him now, because I will promise you, don't think you're going to call out to Him when it's convenient for you. And He's all of a sudden going to be sitting there going, oh, it's about time. Better listen. I think there wasn't a limit to beg to differ if you think there was. Same way the disciples on the beach, Jesus stand there and, all right, well, I'm going to wait until you decide you're ready. No, He called them, and when you are called, God called obedience. After you, as a professed follower of Jesus Christ, are not following in obedience, are not living your life as a living sacrifice, not yielding your wants, your will, your desires, waiting for then, waiting for that, waiting for this, waiting for all these things that we start saying we will wait for. It's about getting in the place where you go, God, I've given You everything. Lord, You've given me everything, and I give You everything. I want nothing more, Father, than to not only dwell in Your presence in my own personal time in the Word, in my personal time in prayer, in my personal time of fellowship, but God, I desire to fellowship with brothers and sisters. God, give me such a hunger and a thirst for that is my primary desire after You family. God, let third be my desire to fellowship. Because, Lord, we're just practicing what we're going to be doing. God, give me a desire for that. Don't let me buy these same excuses that the enemy prevent me from, to prevent me from honoring and glorifying. Second thing tonight is this. Ready? Do not see him. Fulfillment will not. Young people, you think that you're going to be fulfilled later on in life when you've done nothing to seek the Lord, you've done nothing to honor him, done nothing to glorify him? You think you'll be living a life of fulfillment? You got another thing coming. God knows our heart. If we don't want him to be a part of our life, you think, God, we can trick him into thinking, well, Lord, later on, we're going to have such a great time. You think God doesn't know the heart when we're doing that? I'm not talking about somebody who hadn't been called. I'm talking about someone who the Lord's been all over, wearing them out. They're wanting to do that thing of, in the back of their minds, they're wanting to live this way. They're wanting to, oh yeah, I got my spiritual side, but then I want to live this way too. I want light and darkness, both. I want a little bit. I just love the world, but I love the Lord. You know what the Bible says that loving the world is? This is hatred. What the Bible says. To love the world is to be an enemy. Because Scripture's been called. We ought to be in the world, but we have been saved. No matter where you're at, 100 years or you're remembering him. Are you desiring to glorify him, to lift up his name? You have to answer that question. In verses 3 and 4, and we'll be done. So, remember on the day when the guardians of the house tremble, the strong men stoop, the women who grind grain cease because they are few, and the ones who watch the windows, doors of the street are shut while the sound of the male fades. One rises at the sound of the bird, and all the daughters of sorrow. Tell you what that is? Anybody remember home places? There's a man that I'm taking care of right now, owned a big business in town. And how about the houses of people that you knew that are, how about the things, the communities like Pepper Hill over here? Used to be a bustling district. It had that's what, to me, this is a picture of when these things are growing faint and growing quiet. You know what it is? All the people that were young one day, when in 1913, when you were at Longview Baptist Church, you were a little kid, you know, you're running around and they hear you. Hey, the sound. Meaning, people dying. People are dying, become sound of singing. Stooping. Not speaking to it. Being, this is coming to something. What? Well, we're coming to our earth, but it's not the end. It's the beginning. What's your beginning? Is your beginning your desired isolation because you don't like company, you don't like people, you don't like groups? Well, God will give you that. Thy will be done. You have no desire to be in the fellowship, no desire to glorify Christ, no desire to read his word, but God, you know my heart, I love you so much, I'm just not a reader, Lord. Oh, well, you just happen to not be raised in an era right now when you can take your cell phone and have every Bible ever printed in the history of mankind. Oh, I'm not a reader, though. It'll tell it. It'll speak it to you. Yeah. Keep going with the excuses. It gets better. Are you blind? We got Braille. So don't give me this excuse about you don't understand why and you just this and that and we that. And I remember those. You know what it was called? It was because I was lost. I didn't have a desire to get in God's presence because I was hell-bound. Hell-bound people don't have a desire to read. But you know who does? 10 followers of Jesus Christ and regenerated and are being regenerated. They are desiring to spend time in his presence. And by the way, once you desire to remember him now, you desire to be in his presence, you desire to delight yourself in him. And as a matter of fact, the more you do it, the more you understand. What are you going to do about these things being forced? Nothing I can do to put the do that. Nothing that God would open those, especially who are best believers, about the danger when ready. I think that's not a sit down. I'll show you many more of it. And also the danger of righteousness, then to know the way of righteousness and back on the hand that was passed down to you. You want to talk about it some more? Jonathan, what are you trying to say? I'm telling you what the take it for what. Those are people who are regenerate followers of Jesus Christ. That if God did about the day. By the way, you know what he says in the. How do you have love in the first place? You know the danger. All right, third and final thing. Depth of relationship. Results in deep fellowship. Go back to the top. Depth of relationship with Christ. Now, don't think that you can be complacent and apathetic and indifferent now because you're young or you're middle-aged, and you've got all that time to be an old Christian one day, and you're looking forward to that, and I'm going to wait until later on before I dig in deep, you know? Or maybe I don't want to dig in deep because I don't want to know what I'll be held accountable for. You're still going to be held accountable for it. You died right now. So I would encourage you to get in it and find out what God says about it. Get your life in line with what he says. Then to sit around here and believe this naive thought process that if I don't know about it, God won't hold me. Because if you never hear the scripture, right, we're going to be accountable because the heavens declare the glory. God is screaming creative genius. God is screaming relational with everything that you and I say, with starting with the beauty of the moon last night, if you didn't see that, and the beauty of the sunshine this morning coming up. Remember, where are you? Yeah. What excuses are you trying to use for? That time. Why don't you get in the presence of God? Plead with Him for what? Him first. I've been apathetic. I've been. I have complained. Doing these things. Dedicate your. That's what I do then. Get in God's word. Well, I have a in it and stay. I don't care if it's Japanese. Because I know the Holy. That's what the scripture is. If you continue to do it, then God will. He'll honor it like nothing you've ever seen in your lifetime, but He will not honor it when we sit around and continue to make excuses for why we're not doing why we're staying complacent and apathetic and giving God the excuse. God, I just, you know, we pray, Lord, you know how we are. We have that, you know, that Bible stuff, get it, and but we have our understanding. No, you don't. No, it's God's. You want to dialogue and you get it. Praying before you getting in God. That's what. Sorry, your mind. There's no dialogue. That's a monologue. In a prayer to be in like a rebel. Father, thank you. Tonight, Father God, for your word. Thank you. Challenge of it, this time. God, the beauty one day
seniors have not heard. Thank you for that. Thank you for what Jesus did on the cross for us and bearing our sin 3 days later, rising from the grave, Lord, and victoriously seated right now at the right hand of the Father. Thank you, God, for that. Thank you for that truth. Thank you that we have an eternal high priest. Thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that dwells in us, that convicts us and encourages us. And as we read your word, God, the Holy Spirit burns on our hearts what needs to. And as you transform us into your image, thank you, Father, for what you've called us to. You've equipped us in everything that you've done to give us everything we need to live the abundant life as a follower of Christ. Lord, I pray tonight during this invitation for ones here in this building or maybe watching online tonight that are not walking in the fullness of Christ. God, they have given all the excuses why they're doing this, that, and all the other things that the enemy tries to throw at us and see if it works. God, I pray tonight, Lord, that categorically all of that would be rejected. We would rebuke that in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord, and live in the fullness of you as you've commanded us to. Pray for those loved ones, Father, that you've laid on our hearts, Lord, family members that are broken, lost, hurting, sick ones, Father, that we continue to need to lift up and bring into your presence. God, thank you, our Jehovah Rapha, the healer. You hear our prayers, and more importantly, you answer them. God, I pray tonight if there's one here or watching online that does not know you as Lord and Savior, but you have convicted them of the fact that they are a sinner in need of a Savior. Tonight, I pray that they would confess their sin, place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and they would follow in believer's baptism, Lord. Allow you to be not only their Savior, but the Lord of their life. God, I pray today would be the day of salvation. We commit it to you, and we ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Headed Home with Pastor John. If you'd like to know more about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, please visit our website at longviewbaptistchurch.org. And click our contact link. Thank you for joining us.